Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to another episode of PWT Talks NXT for August 30th, 2022. As we head into Worlds Collide this Sunday at 4, I think it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of weird time for an NXT premium live event, but hey, you know, we're here for it, I guess, or we'll be there for it. So we're here to talk about the go-home show for Worlds Collide NXT here tonight. And with me to do so is Bruce Hazelwood. Bruce, what's going on?
I'm Bruce Hazelwood. My report for tonight's NXT is up at PW Torch on the VIP side. You can find me on Twitter at B_Lee253. And do we know if we're doing anything for Worlds Collide or what? I don't even know. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of up in the air. We're not really quite sure. I know Greg's probably doing Wrestling Night in America. I'm not sure if we're going to be doing
All Out is also on Sunday.
Yeah, so. There's also All Out. We also have, the day before, there's Clash of the Castle. There's a lot of wrestling going on this weekend. Maybe we may end up doing a VIP roundtable. I don't know. We'll kind of figure it out. But, you know, just keep an eye on your feed, and you'll find out if we do one or not, I guess. We'll kind of go from there. Wish I had more on that at the moment, but I don't. So there you go. Let's get into the main event for tonight. We had a main event of Gallus versus Diamond Mine, do we want to get into Gallus versus Diamond Mine? Do we want to get into the main event angle? Bruce, I'm going to leave this one up to you. What do you want to do?
I think the main event angle probably is more noteworthy.
Let's do that, because as I was saying, Gallus versus Diamond Mine, I was kind of thinking the same. We had main event angle here tonight. We had Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams coming out, and Carmelo Hayes essentially kind of upset that he wasn't on Worlds Collide. He is, you know, the A champion. He's already unified a title. He did that 8 months ago when he unified the NXT Cruiserweight title with the North American title. It just, you know, kind of running his mouth about how, you know, the show's not going to be quite nearly as good without the A champion, when all of a sudden Ricochet's music hit. And we'll kind of get into throughout the course of the show tonight, there was a lot of star power on this show tonight from the main roster, from all over the place. So kind of get into that. Ricochet being the last one of the night to show up here essentially challenge Carmelo Hayes for the North American title at Worlds Collide. I didn't honestly expect it. I didn't quite see it coming. I really thought it was going to be Gargano, and he being Carmelo Hayes, threw us a little bit of a curveball. Because he did say something about Rebel Heart in his promo. It was either him or Trick Williams, actually. I can't remember.
It was Hayes.
Okay.
He said something about Rebel Heart. He said something about dreams, which I took to mean about fairy tale ending. And then he also mentioned a third, which I can't remember right now. I'm trying to look it up.
The dream thing, I'm wondering if was referring to like possible rumors of a Velveteen Dream return.
Well,
then
I hope not
because he got arrested. Yeah. So like that was like what went through my head. Fairy tale ending actually didn't hit me, but that would make sense too.
Heart, something about dreams, and then swerves. So
yeah. So he kind of threw out a few different things there. But even just kind of like when the segment started, like I kind of thought Gargano, just kind of one last swan song in NXT, obviously he's on the main roster now, but that's kind of where my mind went. But Ricochet, I'm all for it. I think Ricochet versus Melo, oh my God, that's going to be one hell of a match at Worlds Collide. I don't necessarily see Ricochet winning the title, although I wouldn't complain. I thought he was a pretty I enjoyed him as North American champion. I don't think he was certainly a strong champion, but I liked him as North American champion. Belt looked good around his waist, put it that way. What do you think? Let me get your thoughts and your take on what you think about the main event segment, and what do you think will happen between these guys at Worlds Collide?
So, let's see. I like the segment. I like how Hayes was righteously angry at being left off the card when he As William said to start the segment, he's been putting out banger after banger after banger. I don't know how many times he said banger, but he's been having good match after good match, regardless of who his opponent might be. And he can't say that for everybody. So that's a tip in his cap. And I like how when they walked to the ring, they still had purpose. And they were angry, but they were focused. It wasn't just the regular entrance to the ring. As I was watching Raw last night, and I saw something happen where something was going on. Someone did their whole Judgment Day was calling out Edge about ending his career, and Edge decided to do his full entrance. I was like, yeah, cool. That's
you know, it's so funny. I had the exact same thought last night. The exact same thought.
I'm glad that they didn't do that here, and they showed fire. The crowd thought that it was going to be Johnny Gargano, especially after the Rebel Heart reference.
Yeah.
So they kind of, like they did last night in the main event, they pulled another swerve here and introduced Ricochet instead. And I guess
you said swerve. Is he coming back?
No. He's definitely signed to AEW. I said swerve because they like doing swerves for the sake of swerves, like last night. And here, I think it makes sense because Ricochet is the inaugural champion, the first one for the North American, winning that ladder match.
He was the inaugural North American. I think
it was the WrestleMania takeover where they had the ladder match. I could be wrong. It was a while ago.
It was.
And so that's one of the great ladder matches, not just in NXT history, but a lot of people say in pro wrestling history. So if you haven't seen that North American Championship match, the first one, the ladder match, I'd go back and watch that. There are a couple people in that match who are a bit problematic now, but if you overlook them, it'll be a fun match and a good memory to kind of especially if you watch it before Worlds Collide, it'll give you a sense of the lineage of that title. And sort of, I guess a lot, when a title is introduced, a lot can be said about what the vision for that title is based on the kind of the path to getting toward that title. And so you'll see what the title is supposed to kind of really represent by who's involved in that match and what happens during that ladder match. So, but back to the main event segment, I will say, other than Ricochet sounding weird every time he said homeboy, just sounded a bit, you know, 1-6 Mafia-ish. He had a good promo night tonight, and that's not something you expect from him. He just seemed a bit more realistic in his mannerisms, his retorts, his expressions. And Ricochet, so of the acts that came back tonight, all of them were pretty much beloved by the crowd, but the big ones were Nikki A.S.H., Ricochet, and Shayna Baszler and Rhea Ripley. Okay, those are the big ones that got that were just beloved by the crowd for different reasons. And they got the appropriate amount of response tonight as well. So Ricochet also got the better of them in the end by thwarting Trick Williams and then hitting the recoil as a counter to Hayes' springboard lariat attempt. So they're making it seem like Hayes can... that, you know, Ricochet has a good chance to win, and Hayes may be in danger of losing his title for the first time, I think, this year. Cause I think he won it was it the end of last year when he won, or the beginning of this year? It was sometime around that time, I think, on winter when he won it back. So,
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I think after this match was made official, or, you know, you could presume it's made official, I wrote in my report that I think I just found a new favorite for Match of the Night on Sunday. So, and Sunday should be a really good card. All the matches should be pretty good, considering who is being represented on the card and the stakes of the matches. And this is basically, it's basically a PLE, right? Because it's on a Sunday, it's not on Tuesday like the NXT would be.
Yep.
But I said elsewhere that this is probably Triple H's sort of... So you know how a couple weeks ago I said that the big entrance for Santos Escobar at Heatwave, that was sort of the test run for maybe a main roster debut?
Yes.
I'm thinking that Worlds Collide of the PLE is Triple H doing a little soft relaunch of what will become, again, takeovers. I'm thinking that we'll get one Survivor Series weekend because that's usually when the big things happen. And bringing back TakeOver is going to do a lot, I think, to bring people back to NXT, even if they maintain the same scheme. Having the TakeOver name and being able to have people there to put on matches that are TakeOver quality, which they do have several at this point, And they could always bring people down like they have done, like they used to do when NXT TakeOvers first started, that people will start, you know, they've seen a steady increase in viewership on Monday and Friday since Triple H took over. That can happen again with NXT if they, you know, bringing back TakeOvers is probably going to be one of the big ways to do that.
Yeah, I kind of have a feeling you're probably right. I think especially with the announcement of NXT Europe, you know, kind of the NXT UK getting absorbed into that, and if, you know, I'm assuming new titles are going to be made for NXT Europe and all that good fun stuff. You know, yeah, that kind of all seems to make the most sense. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Worlds Collide. It seems like it's going to, you know, really, it's shaping up to be a great card. I feel like tonight was an excellent episode to close out, excellent go home show, I guess is what I should say. Four Worlds Collide, kind of you tied up a lot of stories and kind of made things, you got us kind of excited for the show. So, I'm looking forward to it. Definitely looking forward to it.
Oh gosh. It's on at 10 a.m. in Hawaii.
Well, I mean, that's what you get for living in paradise, man.
I mean, it's so expensive to live out here, but it's 10 a.m. Okay.
I mean, yeah, it's expensive out here in New England. It's expensive. It's everywhere, right? Yeah. Anyway, I'm not gonna go down that rabbit hole because we'll be here until 4 a.m. So let us actually, you know what? Before we do that, I didn't really kind of, you know, do the whole setting the table thing for the show. So I'm Nate Lindberg. You can find me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg. I do the NXT hits and misses for NXT, obviously. You can find it at pwtorch.com. I do have one up for tonight on what I thought of the show. And if you want to be a part of this show, you can email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com or call us at 515-605-9345. And if you'd like to talk, press 1, and that will put a little hand next to your phone number and let me know you guys want to be part of the show. We do have people listening to the show right now. We don't have anybody in the caller queue. So now's a good time. If you haven't ever kind of decided to be part of the show and you want to, well, raise your hand and I'll bring you on. Until then, let's hit the mailbag and see what our normal emailers have to say. We're going to start with an email from Brian Alston. Brian says, it's Brian from Phoenix, the 31-year senior Torch VIP subscriber and official Torch special correspondent for the October 15th WWE Saturday Night Main Event house show in Phoenix. Hello, friends. I'm 100% against adding Blair Davenport to the Mandy Rose and Mako Satomura women's title unification match Worlds Collide. That means Mandy has to beat two women at once. She smashes them, stacks them, and pins them. Copyright Roman Reigns. The Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis reunion was great. I think both of them could use some more time in NXT, but it looks like they're going to be on Raw. I'll be watching Worlds Collide Sunday Night Live. Are you working the post-PLE Torch live in-call show on Wrestling Night in America? I'm not sure. We're not sure, Brian. We'll let you guys know either on Twitter or if we can, but we'll let you know when we find out ourselves. Brian goes on to say, don't forget to listen to the Torch VIP exclusive podcast NXT 8 Years Back. Well, this weekend, Kelly and Tom Stope will discuss the September 4th, 2014 edition, the Go Home Show for TakeOver Fatal 4-Way. All three champions have matches. Movie trivia is officially on pause. Oh, my God. I don't have Kelly here to ask why the movie trivia is on pause. Now I'm going to be wondering about that all night. I'm not going to sleep. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Okay, Blair Davenport in the Mandy Rose versus Mako Satomura women's titled unification match. I am kind of in the same camp as Brian. Not that I have anything against Blair Davenport, but I just kind of wanted to see Mako Satomura kick the crap out of Mandy Rose. Not going to lie. That's really what I wanted to see. I wanted to see Mako in a one-on-one match, and That's just really what I wanted. I can kind of understand why they did it, but I do feel like it kind of just muddies the waters, and it just added something to the match. Didn't need to be there. I feel like just champion for champion, that's what a title unification match should be. I mean, granted, I say that, and then, you know, I go back to Chris Jericho unifying, you know, WCW and WWF titles. That was kind of cool and unexpected. But Blair Davenport also doesn't have the same name value as Chris Jericho did. And I'm talking, you know, especially back then. I mean, you know, he not, I think he's much bigger name at this point, but you know what I mean? So yeah, I feel like it's a bit of an interesting choice. I'm still looking forward to the match, but I've got a frog in my throat, so I'm going to throw it to you, Bruce. I ultimately would have liked to see this to be a one-on-one.
First, I think Brian has to be trolling about the whole Mandy Rose winning like that thing. Right? I mean, just yeah, okay. Beyond that,
I took that as sarcasm. I'm hoping that was sarcasm, Brian. I hope that was sarcasm. But we're just going to go with that.
Brian Austin learned well from wrestling. Never misses a chance to put himself over. So good job, Brian. When it comes to Blair Davenport, so the issue here, I think that we've got an issue. I should rephrase that. Usually in these situations, WWE, NXT, whichever brand show you want to go with, they'll just throw people in for the sake of throwing them in. Here, though, Blair Davenport had a legitimate reason to be thrown in because she was number one contender to Sada Morris' title before this whole unification crap started happening. So in that regard, I'm willing to give them a pass because there's a legitimate storyline reason for her to be involved in this match. And when you look at the rest of the unification matches, the only one that's a singles match is for the NXT Men's Championship, the main one, because the tag titles are also now a fatal four-way match. And the women's match is a triple threat match. I think the only other title match at Worlds Collide that is a one-to-one match is the Women's Tag Team Championship match, which I thought was happening tonight, but I must have misread that. So there is I understand, because I'm not the biggest fan of Triple Threat either. I'd rather just see one-on-one. But in this situation, I think Triple Threat is the best way to go, because while I do want to see Michael Sadamura, the final boss, defeat Mandy Rose handily, I'm not sure if Rose could handle a championship level length and quality of match with Mako Satomura. So what a triple threat match does is help hide some of the deficiencies Mandy Rose has to both Satomura and Blair Davenport, who is she definitely has a reputation of being rough and going to business for herself at times, which was kind of a rep in Japan. But I think it's undoubted that she's a much better in-ring worker than Mandy Rose. So in this case, I understand in multiple ways why they went with a triple threat match. And then the other part of his question was, I don't remember.
And of course, I already clicked off of his email and I archived it. Oh, he was basically just noting that Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell look like they're going to be on Raw now.
Sure. Dexter, for sure. They're doing a whole bunch of gimmickry with him. Like last night, the whole, did he see him or did he not see him? Which obviously, of course, he saw him seeing.
It took me, I had to watch that where the Miz and Ciampa walked past him. I had to watch that like three or four times to figure out why Twitter was actually pointing that gif out to me. They did such a good job at it. It didn't occur. Like I did not see that switch until like the fourth watch through. I just got to give them credit for that. They did a good job on it.
Well, it wasn't just that, but the whole part during the match where he appeared in the concourse up above.
Oh, no, I know. But that one spot in
right.
particular backstage, like, was, I thought, very, very well done.
Yeah, I noted on Twitter that if Vince McMahon was still in charge, that scene with Miz driving off definitely would have had an invisible camera inside. So it was nice to see that the camera person was just still outside of the car just watching and just seeing it happen as it naturally would. So I saw the little things like that, but then there were some dumb things like having people look at the screen with their shoulders perpendicular instead of actually facing the screen. So that's still around.
I mean, that's not how you watch NXT?
I thought
that's how you're supposed to watch wrestling.
Well, you're supposed to, yeah, definitely. I guess I'm just a rebel. I have a rebel heart. So,
sorry guys, yeah. I'm punchy tonight.
Yeah, it was a good show. So I think they did a really good job of building up Worlds Collide on Sunday. And while we may not be, I think All Out probably takes precedence over the NXT PLE. So yeah. While we might not be on Wrestling Night in America, just keep an eye out for if we do a roundtable. So
more than likely,
VIP subscriber.
More than likely, we will be doing a very Jesus. If my lips would work, more than likely we will be doing a VIP roundtable. That's usually how it'll work if we're not on Wrestling Night in America, but we'll get some clarification. But more than likely, there'll be a VIP roundtable. For it, so it won't be on the free feed, but that's just another reason to go VIP, right? And there's a whole bunch of other stuff, like 8 years back and bonus point and, you know, all the other stuff that our guys are affiliated with. Okay, so we do have somebody that just popped up in the phone lines, in the phone queue, but before we do that, let's just hit one more email in the mailbag. We got two more emails to hit. Let's hit one of them first. This is actually from JB. JB says, "Hi guys, JB from Detroit. It was a little odd to me that Finn Balor was brought in to give support and a babyface rub to Braun, as Finn is playing a relatively maniacal heel in the Judgment Day on Raw at the moment. Also, I love that Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop are brought back to compete for the NXT tag titles on Sunday, but I would have liked it even more if they'd been given back their original names in Nikki Cross and Piper Niven." Yeah, me too. As always, love the show and go via. Oh, actually, sorry. He also sent the follow up in right after that. He says, I'm also not sure why Cameron Grimes is still in NXT. Outside of winning the NXT title, I don't see much else worthy of him doing."
You're preaching to the choir with this question, dude.
Oh, yeah, I know. Cameron Grimes, I've been on this podcast 3 years now, and I think we've been saying Cameron Grimes going on up to the main roster for about 3 years now. So, there's that. Yeah, and he kind of goes on to just make a case for Cameron Grimes, but the case is made. It's Cameron Grimes needs to go up the main roster. As far as Finn Balor, Rhea Ripley, Shayna Baszler, I thought they were all it was a little bit out of character for them to come down to NXT. It was weird just in general that all of these, you know, main roster guys, you know, like Gunther and everything, they just showing up in Orlando. Don't they have a live event or something to do, or, you know, see their families since, you know, it's not Monday or Friday? I don't know. I just thought it was weird that they all just happened to show up in Orlando. But if you suspend your disbelief and just maybe think they were training at the PC or something like that, I did kind of like it. It may have gone against some of their characters. I can't really think Gunther would have shown up, you know, and taken the time. Well, actually, Gunther might have. He's got respect for the business and things like that. I could make a case for that. But definitely Finn Balor right now was a little bit off. Rhea Ripley was a little bit off. But putting that aside, I still kind of liked it because it just brought back so much history in NXT. It brought back history that, you know, a lot of the NXT audience may not have seen, with Alba Fire and Mako Satomura. They kind of, you know, showed that a little bit. They made a silent nod to it, you know, and Mako Satomura said she won the title from a great champion, but didn't necessarily say that she won it from Alba Fire or former Kaylee Ray. She was Kaylee Ray when she lost the title, you know, but it was just cool little things like that through the course of the night where, you know, if you're a fan and you know, it's a cool nod to the past. And if you're not a fan or, you know, you're not a long-term fan, you're a new fan or something, it just seems like a cool interaction between, you know, some characters. I really did. I enjoyed those little segments between the former champions and current champions tonight. And I did like the fact that they did it not just with the NXT champions, but the NXT UK champions as well. You know, because it kind of just it made it seem like they were equal. You know, having you know, like I said, you know, Mako Satomura and Kaylee Ray, Tyler Bate, you know, doing a FaceTime with. I can't believe his name's Butch, but, you know, Pete Dunne, you know, it was really kind of a cool callback to all of that history throughout the course of the night. So yeah, it was weird that they just showed up and they happened to be there. It was weird that a few of them did go against their characters on the main roster, but the way that I took it is NXT is their home. That's where they quote grew up. That's where their heart is. And they came to just give a message like, this is important to me. Don't you F this up. That was how I took it. And I kind of think that's how they wanted us to take it. And I ultimately, I thought it was a pretty good angle to kind of hype Worlds Collide. So, Bruce, what did you think of all of that? And I can also read JB's email because I talked for a long time after I read the email.
Well, I'm just going to discuss all of the appearances in this segment.
Yeah, let's do that.
Basically what we're doing right here. So no one from the tag team, the previous tag team champions or anything for either brand made an appearance here, but champions for the men's and women's titles for both brands did. And even Blair Davenport got an interaction with the former champion with Rhea Ripley, if I remember correctly, from what happened tonight. So people that were involved in the matches, the main matches, all had an interaction with someone that has a connection to the title. So for me, the very first one was Finn Balor, and I'm just sitting there going, why is he coming off here as a face when he has been a full-fledged heel over on Monday nights on Raw? And nothing he said made it seem like he was in character as Finn Balor, the leader of the Judgment Day. So that was a negative to me. But I can make a case for Shayna Baszler, Rhea Ripley, Gunther, who am I missing? Kaylee Ray, Alba Fire. I could make a case for those four easily. For Gunther, not only does he have respect for the business, but he has respect for people who are champions and are respectful of being champion in another business. And Tyler Bate, the person, like he said, who went 45 minutes with him for that title, is someone he respects both as a competitor and as a champion. So it makes sense that he, as someone who is holding the title of a workhorse champion, of someone who can have those kind of matches, would come down and give his support to the person who's looking to unify the title, because in WWE, Gunther first made his name as NXT UK champion. When it comes to Shayna Baszler, she maintained her character from Raw and SmackDown. She's on SmackDown right now. In her interaction with Mandy Rose, she was no BS, straight to the point, focused, intimidating without being overbearing or without trying too hard, and basically told Mandy Rose, like, yeah, you. Mandy Rose called her honey, which I thought was, you know, very dismissive, and Shayna Baszler kind of laughed it off, like, oh, really? And she just told her, like, kind of laid it to her. If I thought it was the line of the night, if you lose on Sunday, then everything you've said for the past year will be trash. Like, that is a good summation of Mandy Rose's title reign, I think, from what Shayna Baszler said. Rhea Ripley, like Shayna Baszler, did not lose her character. She maintained that no BS, I don't give any Fs attitude, I'm better than you, throughout the whole segment with Blair Davenport. And I think the other line of the night was, I made NXT and NXT UK mine because I grabbed them by the balls or whatever it was, you know, something like that. She just doesn't care, and she maintained that. Alba Fire, while she's intense, she's also still presented as a face. And I think for people uninitiated, this segment was meant to heavily indicate to the viewer that Mako Satomura is the one who won that title from Alba Fire. If you had missed the video package earlier in the night, which short but very well done, and giving you an idea who the final boss is and how she became champion, which they showed was by defeating the then Kaylee Ray. So I think overall those four appearances were done well, while the others weren't as good, apart from Ricochet, which we already talked about for the main event. And that video segment for Mako Satomura, if you haven't watched it or didn't get to see it and you're wondering about who she is, go ahead, I say go back and watch that. It was maybe a minute long, and it even showed footage from her debut in the U.S. during WCW. So I think that for the main championships, aside from the Braun Breaker, oh, that's the other one, Tommaso Ciampa, your man, your guy.
How the hell did I forget Ciampa was on the show tonight?
Because his character that he presented tonight is nowhere near the character that he's been presenting on Monday nights. It's just too, you want to forget about it because there's no coherence. And while the character tonight that he presented makes sense in the microcosm of NXT and NXT's history, it fails when it comes to the macro, looking at how he's been presented on Monday nights over the past, what, couple months of them is. So that was also a negative to me. And he and Finn Balor were the two big negatives to me tonight in terms of those appearances.
It doesn't bother me that much because it seems like like NXT is its own world in a way. Like when
I
you come back,
I
when
disagree.
You come
now at Triple H, he's showing more and more that they're willing to channel the history. Look at the segment last night with Johnny Gargano and Austin, well, soon to be again, Austin.
No. And that's not necessarily what I, because like, I completely agree with what you're saying there. Completely agree with what you're saying there. But like when somebody comes back down from NXT, like it's kind of just like a feel good thing to like adopt your old persona, you know, like it was, I don't know. I kind of appreciated that he kind of came, like Tommaso Ciampa came down here. He adopted the persona that he had when he left NXT, when he was feuding with Bron Breakker, and it was just kind of like he picked up where he left off a few months ago. I kind of like that, but I definitely hear what you're saying. It's not canon in terms of like the main roster and the story that's going on there. But it didn't bother me as much, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Nah, probably in 6 months it should bother you more, though, because they're definitely showing that there's going to be a lot more overlap between the three shows. And with that being the backdrop, to me, you can't have moments like this again where it's the reverse of what Vince did, taking, you know, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa in the middle of their feud and having them team on Raw and SmackDown, you know. What am I trying to say here? You have to book both with an eye on maintaining stories week to week, but also not sort of straining the intelligence of your viewers over the long term, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they're in danger of doing here. And I also thought it was cute that Joe Gacy, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but he mentioned All In with All Out being on Sunday during his promo tonight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether it was intentional or not, I think there's a bit of and maybe it was because it was about, I know what it feels like to go all in and lose. And maybe that was sort of Triple H kind of acknowledging NXT versus AEW. I'm just reading too much into it. It could have been nothing, right? But with the proximity to All Out this Sunday, it just seems a bit too coincidental there, too. So I think, you know, you need to find your places to be cute like that, which wasn't tonight, I think. And also not mess up with the overall long-term stories of what's eventually going to happen with people on NXT. And those who came back tonight, the thing is, they're going back. They're not coming back to NXT. I doubt it. So with that, except for, you know, people who are already there, like Alba Fire. So with that being said, it makes you have to break reality a little bit when you see them again on Monday and Friday nights.
Yeah, right. No, I'll definitely give you that. That makes sense. I'm a big nostalgia guy. So like when I see an act come back or a gimmick come back that has been gone, even just for a little bit, or that I was a fan of, like, it's kind of a feel good moment. But at the same time, holy crap. What the heck was that? That was loud.
No, it was a motorcycle.
Wow. That kind of startled the crap out of me. I'm not going to lie. The hell was I just talking? Oh yeah. Nostalgia. I'm a bit of a nostalgia guy. So, you know, seeing somebody like Ciampa, especially where he's like my guy, I kind of appreciated it, but I definitely, you know, for continuity and probably for like the betterment of the show, you're probably right. You're probably right. I'll definitely give you that. All right. Let us continue on here, and we'll go to the phone lines before we finish up the mailbag. We'll go to area code 914. Go ahead, state your name, where you're calling from, and what you thought of the show.
Hey guys, Brad in New York. How are you?
Not too bad, Brad. Not too bad. How are we doing tonight?
Good. So I thought tonight's episode was extraordinary. I mean, you know, I'm kind of surprised that last night on Raw there wasn't a little bit more promotion for NXT. I'm not saying you give away all these surprises, but maybe you say, you know, tomorrow night, you know, a big episode of NXT, you have a couple more commercials, you know, or spots that are strewn throughout Raw to kind of, you know, because look, this was exciting for any fan of the main roster tonight, and obviously anyone that likes NXT, but just seeing all these things tie together, I mean, personally had no problem with the characters being quote-unquote out of character, like Finn Balor, like Rhea Ripley, like, you know, look, I think Gunther was, you know, pretty much himself. I mean, he was very intimidating. I don't think he was that much different from his regular character, but Finn Balor definitely was. You know, look, it was really exciting to see all these people return. And you guys just mentioned saying, you know, I don't think any of these people are going to be staying in NXT or not be going back to the main roster or anything like that. Kind of, you know, very respectfully disagree, because I can see out of Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H., who have a championship match against Katana and Kayden, and between Carmelo and Ricochet, I could see one of those two winning a championship, especially Doudrop and Nikki. I do not think that Carmelo is going to lose, but I can see Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. becoming NXT champions and potentially bringing that belt back to Raw and having sort of like a situation where that tag team belt floats between all three brands and unifying that as well. Could you see that as a possibility? And I do have another point, but I just wanted to get your take on that. Hello?
Nate, did you mute yourself?
Oh.
I guess I did just mute myself. I was unmuted that whole time. I could certainly see that as a possibility. I think it's a slim possibility, but I don't think it's out of the question personally. I think it's a bit more of a slim chance now, especially to where we've crowned new WWE women's tag team champions. And NXT tag team champions, where they were both vacant for like a little bit. If they were both still vacant, or one of them was still vacant or something like that, maybe. But I'm leaning towards probably not. It could definitely still happen. And it would almost kind of make sense, because like, I feel like between all three rosters, the women's tag division is probably the thinnest on all three brands. And that's just going off the top of my head without actually looking at a roster list. So, I mean, it kind of would make sense. You can kind of have that be a special attraction that floats between the three brands and things like that. But ultimately I don't think it's necessarily going to be what happens. I think it's still going to be, you know, one set of tag titles that float between the main roster brands and then have one down in NXT. Bruce?
Yeah. I don't think either team is going to lose their title on Sunday. I think they're both going to retain. One reason is, especially with Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop, while it would be cool to see them win, if you have them win after they had really no impact whatsoever recently as a tag team, then it's really making the NXT tag titles very, very weak. It's kind of like what happened when you bring people like Natalya down. Dolph Ziggler, that was a little different, I guess, because they used that to elevate Bron Breakker. Wow, I just had a real mind blank right there. But the thing is,
you had a me moment.
Yeah, true. A.S.H. and Doudrop are they don't have the position of Ziggler, both in terms of the credibility as a former multi-time champion and at the in-ring, even though both are really good in-ring because of how the characters have been siloed the last year and a half, 2 years or so now with Nikki A.S.H. So in that regard, I don't think either team is going to win. I think they're both – or either champion is going to lose. I think the opponents are there to help really put more emphasis on those champions and to give them the rub, so to speak. Also, the only way I see sort of a women's tag team championship face-off between the NXT and the Raw and SmackDown champions would be if, because of the fact that both Piper Niven and Nikki Cross win on Sunday, all four will have had connections to NXT, and all four have had connections to NXT while they were all there at the same time. There could be some bragging rights they do there, but I think and if that's the case, and again showing more of the interconnectedness between the brands, then again this is where the presentation of people really is crucial, where it has to be coherent. So I don't think either team is going or either champion is going to lose. There is always a possibility that they do something like unification because that's the way they're going with all these things. But the other titles didn't necessarily need to be. So here's the paradox is the world and the Universal and WWE Championship, I don't think needed to be unified. The tag team championships with the men's, I don't think needed to be unified. The ones from UK and NXT make sense because of the expansion to NXT Europe. But here with the women's tag team championships, I think between the two, even though it makes the most sense to unify them because of the lack of depth, I don't think they actually will do that because they kind of see both as having their needed, their necessary place on their brands. So in that regard, I'm not sure if we will actually be seeing a unification bout with these titles anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the Universal and men's tag titles, WWE and Universal, and then the men's tag titles on the main roster, I think that's more of like a storyline thing for Bloodline. I don't necessarily think it's like a direction that the company's going. And I know there's a lot of people, you know, speculation back and forth about that, but like that's just personally, like I don't feel like that's the direction they're going. I feel like it was a way to try and build Roman Reigns to be that next boss. You know, you're not going to have Brock Lesnar forever. You don't have The Undertaker anymore. You
it's
need
like
that.
Evolution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Brad, anything else?
Yeah. A couple quick things. Maybe I'm in a vast minority here, but in a certain way, I like watching NXT even more than Raw and SmackDown because of the energy of the crowd, and the kind of why is the word escaping me? I'm trying to say like the small space, the intimateness
of kind of that crowd.
The intimacy of kind of like the way that crowd is like right on top of the ring and kind of just how the lighting is and how everything feels so electric, the enthusiasm in the air, it feels very different, especially last night. I thought that Pittsburgh crowd was awful between us. I mean, between everyone listening, it's not some secret. I just think they were terrible. I thought they brought very little energy to it, very different from the crowd in Montreal that we saw on SmackDown or in Toronto that we saw. Regardless, I really love that about NXT. And one thing about Carmelo that I have to say is that, you know, I think, you know, this is a way, obviously, of elevating him by having him potentially beat Ricochet. I do think that will happen. But he's made that belt feel so important, like more important than the NXT championship. He said that himself tonight, but it kind of reminded me of the way Roman, you know, made the Universal Championship feel more important than the WWE Championship when he had it. He is so good to me that he's elevating that belt as the number one championship in NXT in a certain way. And it's really interesting to see that. And I think this is just a tune-up match to have him, you know, go against someone that is, you know, clearly a true professional in Ricochet. And, you know, I think tonight also was a clear way to get, you know, Triple H or to have Triple H kind of just say, hey, this brand is important too, and you need to watch it, and anything could happen down here, you know, and just those things are just on my mind, but great show, guys. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on those three things, specifically, honestly, I don't know why NXT just resonates with me so much, but it really feels more exciting because of that enthusiasm in the crowd and, you know, the lighting and all that. It just has a different feel to it, which I really, really love.
All right, Brett, thank you. I think you've called in a couple times now. Keep calling in. Certainly appreciate it. Some great talking points. As far as like the crowd down in NXT and everything like that, like I have a very love-hate relationship with them because I do like the fact that they're electric and it comes across on TV that way. And I feel like it does add to the show 100%, but they do sometimes have a bit of a mind of their own. And they try to get themselves over sometimes. Granted that
sometimes,
I'm trying to even benefit though. they try to get themselves over sometimes, but it's also a product of like the loudest fan contest. It's something that we've talked about a lot of times on the show. You know, especially when Tom Stoup was still a part of the show. Tom, I miss you, man. Not that I don't like you, Bruce, but I haven't talked to Tom since he left the show.
Well, tell me how you really feel, Nate.
I know. Right. But when Tom Stoup was going to every single NXT live right before the pandemic hit, yeah, that was something he would talk about all the time, is just how obnoxious the fans would get after they would announce the loudest fan contest. Essentially, they'd be like, okay, whoever can be the loudest during this match is going to win a free T-shirt or something along those lines. I think that's exactly what it was. And, you know, we've had reports they still do that. So it's a very hit or miss for me with that crowd. I do like the fact that they're passionate, though. And that always has been kind of a – they're almost like – the crowd's almost like their own character. And that's literally an analogy I thought of mid-sentence right now. Like, it's like they're their own character. They're like the normal traditional, like, audience, but, like, they have a mind of their own. And they kind of just, like – They don't play by the rules. I'll never forget the first takeover that was announced that was going to be, I think it was it Brooklyn that was going to be away from Full Sail. And anytime they said the word Brooklyn, the Full Sail crowd just booed the crap out of it. You know, it was like NXT is our brand. It's our product. We don't want it to leave. And they still have that mentality even this many years later. But overall, what's that?
Entitlement.
Yes. Entitlement. That's a good way to put it. But I do really like the electricity and the energy of NXT, especially lately. I feel like they've kind of hit a good pace. The shows have been a bit more coherent and less scattered as some of the like original 2.0 shows felt. I've really been enjoying like the pacing and everything, the show. Bruce, let me throw to you on those last final things that Brad threw our way.
Did you want to say anything on the Carmelo Hayes thing he was talking about?
If I could refresh my memory, because I'm lucky I remember my name half the time.
All right, I'll discuss it, and then we can throw back to you.
Should have said that, because then I wouldn't have looked like an idiot.
So I have mostly a hate relationship with the crowd. It's always about – so ECW was great for many things. One of the big negatives was the crowd always trying to put themselves over, and that has bled into every facet of professional wrestling in North America, or at least in the U.S. I'm not sure about Canada and Mexico. Since then, just like the what chance that Stone Cold Steve Austin has. And the NXT crowd in particular at times has allowed personal vendettas to try and guide how they want to influence the rest of the crowd to react to certain acts. And there have been instances where a few people in the crowd have had a huge influence because, as Tom has discussed before, the tickets are kind of first come, first serve, I believe, and it's always the same people who get the tickets because of their proximity, and they're always there for the tapings or the live shows when they did go live. And that leads to a sense of familiarity from the crowd to the wrestlers. So think about just going to your local promotion, how you see the same people wrestle, you know, however long it is, and you feel like you know them better. But the difference is that NXT crowd thinks that they actually have a personal relationship with a lot of the wrestlers. We've also heard about them being at the same restaurants because of how small that community is, and the same gyms and whatnot, and just I can see how that can kind of breed that sense of familiarity, but it also is a bit presumptuous and, I guess, in a sense, ostentatious to think that you have some kind of relationship with these professional wrestlers just because you see them all the time. And so for me, the crowd I just try to tune them out as much as possible, especially when it comes to certain wrestlers who I know they're going to have issues with. And because of that, I just don't have the best opinion of them. Though I will say, as you had noted, Nate, pretty much since the change to Triple H was announced, the crowd seems to be a bit more contained or more in control, maybe because of the pacing of the show, or maybe because the show just has been better overall and how it's been presented, that they haven't felt the need as much to make themselves I guess, insert themselves as much into these into every segment as they did in the past.
You could have just said as obnoxious.
Oh, true. But it's just, I hope it continues because the crowd to me just, while crowds can help really make it and break things, when it's the same crowd over and over again, they have the potential to really make things go sour fast. And with that in mind, I hope that that's not the case for NXT moving forward. When it comes to Carmelo Hayes, I've been saying for months that, to me, when Bron Breakker misses a show, I don't notice it. But when Carmelo Hayes missed one show in the last basically 6 to 8 months, a couple weeks ago, I noted that it felt weird that he wasn't on the show and the show felt like it was lacking something. So I've been touting the horn that he's felt the most important character, the most important champion in all of NXT. And I don't think he's done anything to disprove me in that time. He's getting better and better, more confident in his character, more confident in his promos. And he's really learned how to channel when to be comedic, when to over-exaggerate and oversell, and when to keep under control. Like, you know, talking about his walk to the ring tonight, like we did earlier, that was just one of those subtle little things that shows that he gets it. I've been saying over and over again, I've said it on the show to you and to Kelly and to Tom, you know, if I was asked, who would you take, Bron Breakker or Carmelo Hayes, I don't even hesitate. I'm taking Carmelo Hayes without a question. And I'm building around him. To me, I totally see the potential in Bron Breakker. But to me, the person that has more potential now and in the future is Carmelo Hayes. So him as the A champion, it's not just a moniker he's given himself. It's the truth. He is the other reason I kept saying is, look at how many storylines he was intertwined with at one time going into Heat Wave, whether it was everything with Cameron Grimes because of Trick Williams, whether it was I'm trying to make a point, of course, but go back and read the reports from Kelly and myself, and you'll see just how integral he was to getting so many different men's angles over during his time right now and in the past month as North American champion. So and we've also been saying that we want to see an eventual champion versus champion match with Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes. Now, this is where they could go, and what I think they should do is have this match maybe at the return of TakeOver at Survivor Series that weekend, if it does indeed come back, and have it as a champion versus champion winner take all, but not a unification match, and have the winner pull double duty like Seth Rollins did when he was WWE champion and the United States champion, and I think it was 2015 or 2016. Carmelo Hayes is definitely the person who could do that, and I think he would just pull back on how much he wrestles on a weekly basis and save his in-ring time for the PLE. And I think that's the eventual road they should go down on, because he's proven over and over again that he really, you could argue that Carmelo Hayes, his character, his persona, his abilities, his sort of star power transcends the brand of NXT because of how good he has become in such a short amount of time.
All right, so here's what we're going to do for the rest of the night. We're going to do things a little bit different tonight because I have a bit of a pumpkin time tonight. I got to be up really early to get to work in the morning, and I didn't realize as we host the show, I was going to just dip out halfway through the show thinking Kelly was going to be hosting. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read our final email, and then we're going to go quickly through the Worlds Collide card and just kind of give our quick little, like, 30-second, minute-long predictions of what we think Worlds Collide is going to come out to. I know there's a lot we didn't hit and touch on the show tonight, but unfortunately, we kind of ran out of time. So let's go ahead and read our final email of the night from Kevin Catani. Kevin says, "Salutation, gents. I hope this email finds you well. Well, they sure put a lot of effort into building Worlds Collide, didn't they? I love seeing some of the OG NXT roster and the NXT UK champs during tonight's episode, but I do think the interactions carried on a bit longer than intended. That said, which unification match are you most excited about, and which one will you leave us groaning in disdain? Thanks, as always. Go VIP and listen to 8YB. Office hours now over. The professor, Kevin Catani, PhD. All right. So I didn't actually read his email before reading it just then and there. So I guess if you want, what we could do is kind of roll all of that in. So let's I'm going to read down the roster. Read down the card for Worlds Collide. And then when we start talking about it, just let us know. We'll let you know what we think is going to be our favorite and our least favorite unification match. So the first match going into Worlds Collide is going to be Bron Breakker versus Tyler Bate for the NXT for the unification for the NXT and NXT UK championship. That's probably not the first, but it's at least the first on my list. I'm going to go out on a limb, and it's a stupid limb because I think Bron Breakker's probably going to win, but I really want to see Tyler Bate clinch this. I haven't liked Bron Breakker as champion. He's, at least recently, I did it first, but recently, like you said earlier, Bruce, he hasn't seemed as relevant as he should have, and I completely agree. Carmelo Hayes has been Carmelo Hayes has kind of seemed like more of an A champion than Bron Breakker has. So I feel like Tyler Bate might be a little refreshing. It's different. It's unique. It's it's not the same that we've had so far. I mean, we've only had. We've only had one NXT champion. I forgot we have had Tommaso Ciampa. Bron Breakker has been the NXT champion for a while since in the 2.0 era here. But I feel like it might be time for him to kind of give it up. It seems like it's stale at this point to me. So I'm going to put my money on Tyler Bate, but I think I'm probably going to lose this one. Bruce.
It should be a good match. Probably Bron Breakker's best match as champion. I do agree that I would like to see Tyler Bate win this. I think he's more so there to give Bron Breakker a really, really good match. Probably, like I said, his best match of his career, most likely. And to get the rub from that and to make sure that people who may not be familiar with Tyler Bate stateside get a good impression of who he is moving forward, because he's probably going to be a big player in NXT. So, yeah, I just haven't been a fan of Breakker as champion. So
yeah,
it doesn't help that they've had people like Joe Gacy as his opponents. Real quickly, so I think Breaker's going to win. I would like to see Bate win. Should be a good match. Not mad about it. Real quickly, the caller brought up he didn't think there was enough advertisements on Monday Night Raw for Worlds Collide. To be fair, Clash at the Castle on Saturday, so that takes precedence, and it's a show more pertinent to what Raw is. But also, I feel like I saw at least 3 or 4 commercials that were hyping NXT as the last show before Worlds Collide. So unless I'm missing some other stuff, I think they did a pretty decent job of hyping the show for tonight. The viewership numbers have increased for NXT over the past couple of weeks since Triple H has taken over. So I think they've done a sufficient job last night of hyping the show for tonight. And for those that did tune in, I think they had one of the better go home shows in the 2.0 era heading into one of the big shows.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's go to the next one on the list here. It's the NXT and NXT UK Women's Championship Unification Match between Mandy Rose, NXT Women's Champion Mandy Rose, NXT UK Champion Mako Satomura, and Blair Davenport, Triple Threat. I think in terms of Kevin's email, I think this is the one I'm looking forward to the least, and I hate saying that because it's a Mako Satomura match, but as I said earlier in the night, I really wanted to see a one-on-one match. Like I just am in the camp of unification matches should be one-on-one. I hear what you said earlier tonight, Bruce, kind of being able to hide Mandy Rose's weaknesses with two much better talents in Mako Satomura and Blair Davenport. But at the same time, I'm the triple threat just doesn't excite me. I really wanted, if it's going to be a title unification match, I was looking forward to champion versus champion. That's just me.
I was just playing devil's advocate to explain it from their side, why it makes sense.
Okay. Well, fair enough. That's kind of where I feel about this. I think, we'll probably wind up seeing Mandy Rose retain, cause I feel like at this point, she's untouchable. Every time I think she's going to lose, she doesn't. Again, you know, as similar to the last one, I would like to see Mako Sato Mora win, but I kind of have a feeling it's going to be Mandy Rose. They may pull a Chris Jericho and put the belts on Blair Davenport, but I don't see that happening. But I've been wrong in the past. What do you think, Bruce?
I think Kelly might have said last week that they might put it on Davenport because of the triple threat rules. So there's always that possibility. Of course, I would love to see the final boss, Mako Sato Mora, win this match. Of course, I would love that. Her time in the Mae Young Classic, go back and watch those matches. They were just amazing. You haven't seen those.
Those are that Mae Young Classic was the first thing I ever covered for the Torch, and like, oh my God, I had so much fun covering it, especially her matches. They were fantastic.
That first Mae Young Classic and the Cruiserweight Classic were probably the two best tournaments in U.S. professional wrestling in the last decade at least. So,
I agree.
But back to the match. If you weren't sure that Mandy Rose was going to win on Sunday, you were definitely given a big hint that she would with Shayna Baszler's comments to her tonight, especially about if you don't win on Sunday, then everything you've said over the entire last year will be garbage. You don't say a line like that and have that look on Mandy Rose's face without her doing everything she can to retain on Sunday and become the unified NXT Women's Champion.
Yep.
Especially with her dismissing Baszler so easily and discussing really her focus has been the length of her reign the past month or two and how she's passing by some of the big names in NXT history. She's not going to reach Asuka, that's for sure, but she's about to pass Shayna Baszler. And if she truly wants to be remembered as an NXT champion, women's champion, not just because she held the title and not just because she had a long reign, but because she was worthy of it, then she has to win on Sunday. And they set it up to where she has a legitimate reason to go full out. And I don't want to say all out because of what's happening on Sunday, but to really just put it all to just really lay it on the line and make sure that she comes away on Sunday with a victory. The other thing about the triple threat is that it makes it so, for some reason, there's no disqualification, even though in the Fatal 4-Way later with the trip on the tag team match, they still got to tag in, which is dumb if there's no disqualification. But that's besides the point. So Mandy Rose can use weapons and whatnot to help her ensure that she not only retains her title, but then unifies it with the NXT Women's NXT UK Women's Championship.
You know, I always forget triple threat matches are not DQ. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yep. All right. There we go there. Okay. The next one isn't a unification match, but it is for a title. And that is Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop versus Katana Chance and Caden Carter. We kind of sort of touched on this a little bit with Brad's call. I think it was Brad's call. We touched on this a little bit there, but you know, I was kind of, you know, definitely excited to see the two of them back in NXT. It would have been nice. It definitely would have been nice to see them using their actual name or well, their older names, Piper Niven and you know, Nikki Cross, but you know, as we discussed earlier, continuity and stuff. So, you know, I kind of think it makes
sense.
Sometimes. Well, continuity being best for business, I guess.
Right.
Or potentially. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this. This isn't the one I'm looking forward to the most. That is definitely going to be the other tag team match, for unification anyway. Cause that was Kevin's email. What's the favorite unification that's going to be tagged? The favorite match I think is going to be Hayes and Ricochet. But Carter and Chance versus Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop. I think it's going to be a fun match. It's the crowd is definitely going to be behind it. They were really excited to see both Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop back here tonight. So I think it's just going to be a fun match. I don't see Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop actually winning. I feel like this is just kind of to give Caden Carter and Katana Chance like a good match at Worlds Collide and kind of, you know, solidify them as champions a bit more and give them some more bragging rights and things like that, build them up as champions more. I'd be very surprised if Nikki and Doudrop take the titles and either stay in NXT or bring up the main roster. You know, could give Carter and Chance like some fun chasing, I guess, but I don't see that being the way it goes. Bruce.
So tonight was one of those nights where NXT pretty much told Carter and Chance, you're champions now. You have to be able to pull out decent matches from your opposition, no matter who they are. And the thing about their match with Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley tonight, who are improving, and Tatum Paxley has a face guard because of her broken nose that we had discussed, that was rumored, I don't know, a week or two ago. The thing is, their matches still, when you watch them, you can definitely see the choreography involved in planning out the match. And while wrestling is planned, yes, and you have your spots laid out, it shouldn't be so obvious to us that that's what you're doing. And for me, that's the biggest negative still with these two is even in all this time, everything they do in a match is still so choreographed to the point that I know exactly what's about to happen and what they're going to do when I shouldn't be able to do that. And again, made more so obvious by the fact that you can see in their eyes and their bodies that what they're trying to do is set up for the next spot rather than get ready for the spot they're about to do. And I think tonight was a big example of that with – there's a siren going. Hold on. Okay, so they needed to be able to pull a better match out. I think on Sunday, because of who their opposition is, they're going to have no chance or no choice but to have a better match than they usually do. And I hope that they can take the experience from Sunday and use that moving forward, because I just can't get into their matches, because it's just, you know how they used to lambast the Young Bucks for all the flippy stuff, and there just was no fluidity to everything. It was just move after move for the sake of high spot after high spot. That's what it feels like watching Chance and Carter. There's just no storyline, like psychology reason for all this to keep happening, and yet they just do things that are flashy. The crowd likes it at Full Sail, cool, but I think in the long run, it'll be better for them to have a more grounded style, not in terms of not doing the flippy stuff, more grounded in terms of laying out the psychology and the story of what you're doing in the ring as a team and as individuals. So that's what I'm looking to see on Sunday in this match. My favorite unification bout is going to be the men's title match, just simply on the fact that it's a singles bout with Tyler Bate.
Hell yeah, I can't disagree with that, or at least falter for that anyway. All right, next one on the docket is Creed Brothers versus Brooks. So the Creed Brothers, who are the current NXT Tag Team Champions, versus Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs, who are the current NXT UK Tag Team Champions, versus Pretty Deadly versus Gallus. And that is the unification for those two tag team championships here. This, I think, is the one I'm looking forward to the most personally. I definitely am looking forward to Tyler Bate. I'm not going to lie. But I think this is kind of what I'm looking forward to the most personally. The Creed Brothers have been awesome. Jensen and Brooks, I'm not going to lie, I think they've almost won me over, if they haven't already. I've kind of enjoyed like their character work as of late, and their in-ring work is getting better. Pretty Deadly and Gallus, I mean, they have a long history with the NXT UK Championship, as well as with each other. So it's kind of cool to get that history in there as well. I feel like if you're going to be fighting to unify the NXT UK Tag Team Championships, you need at least a UK title, a UK team in there. So why not add two? If not, it would be kind of like, you know, the invasion angle all over again, where you have WWF guys fighting WWF guys calling themselves ECW and WWF, whatever, you know what I mean? I think this should be fun. It should be a hard hitting match. I think it's probably going to be pretty stiff, especially if tonight was anything to go off of between the Creed Brothers and Gallus, who wrestled pretty stiff throughout that match. So I'm looking forward to this. I honestly have no idea. Like, I think it's up in the air for me as to who's going to win this. I think to see the Creed Brothers take it and unify it. But at the same time, there's just something so badass about Gallus that, like, I kind of want to see like this brooding, like just badass triple, like the stable, just unify the titles and run ragged over the tag division. So that's my two cents. Bruce, on the tag team unification.
What's funny about Briggs and Jensen is that, to me, I've written that Fallon Henley actually, to me, has become the best act of the three over the past couple of weeks. And I think that was also the case tonight. I think it's Brooks Jensen. I just can't. Yeah. Yeah, there's something about him. I just can't with him.
Yeah, no, I hear you. There's something there. There's something there. It doesn't click.
Yeah. So, and I think they're the one team you can definitely cross out as potential winners. I think there's a 0% chance that they're going to win.
I
think it's in rank of the biggest probability in my mind of who's going to win. It'll be the Creed Brothers, then Pretty Deadly, and then Gallus. And then the ratio between Pretty Deadly and Gallus is not as far as being, you know, third and second might be. I think they have a pretty equal chance of retaining. So I guess if I had to go with percentages, I'd say that there's probably a 60% chance that the Creeds win and a 20% chance each that Pretty Deadly and Gallus win. I think you can make legitimate arguments for each team to win. The Creed Brothers, they've been the most dominant team in NXT. They are the NXT Tag Team Champions. Might as well have them unify. With Gallus and Pretty Deadly, you can argue that this is the one match where the unification should probably go one way towards UK, so it's not just a wash. Because I think that Breaker and Mandy Rose are both going to win their unification matches. So you can make that argument. Two, with Pretty Deadly, they are the most polished tag team in all of NXT. I don't think there's any question about that. They also have a championship pedigree because they were the former tag team champions in NXT UK. And they've fought the Creed Brothers pretty evenly throughout the last several months. With Gallus, they also are former tag team champions in UK. And they're new, so you have the easy in to make them a more formidable opponent by making them the champion of this unification bout. So I think all the reasons are there for those. So with those reasons, I should say, I think you have legitimate storyline angles to have those three teams come out on Sunday as the victor. I don't have a clear guess as to who is going to win, but I would make Pretty Deadly the champion if I had to choose between the three teams, or the four teams, I guess.
And the mute button strikes again. All right, we kind of already talked about Carmelo Hayes and Ricochet a little earlier in the night. I don't know if you have much. I don't really have a whole lot to add to that compared to what we already talked about. I think it's going to be a fun, like, high octane match. I think Carmelo Hayes is going to come out on top here. I don't see Ricochet, you know, winning and staying down in NXT or anything like that. I mean, I wouldn't complain, honestly. I think he'd do more in NXT than he's done on the main roster. But although that could change under Triple H. But Carmelo Hayes, he's, like we've said already, he's made this championship seem like it's the most important thing on the show. And I think it would be a terrible idea to derail that right now. Anything else on Hayes and Ricochet?
I just can't wait to see Ricochet take some bumps for Carmelo Hayes, especially if he takes his finisher, the nothing but net from the top rope. I just can't wait to see him Ricochet spike his own head just to sell that move.
All right. And with that, guys, we're going to wrap the show up a little bit early tonight. Apologize for that. But you know what? You don't want me tired going to work tomorrow, or at least I don't want to be tired going to work tomorrow. A little bit of an early day. Unusual, but, you know, sometimes unusual things happen. I'm Nate Lindberg. You can follow me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg. I do the NXT hits and misses, which you can find on pwtorch.com. I have one up for tonight if you'd like to check it out. And Bruce, who are you?
I'm Bruce Lee Hazelwood. My report on NXT's show tonight, the Go Home Show, is up at pwtorch on the VIP side. Kelly's will be here next week to review. Well, I guess if the show's on Sunday, I wonder if he's going to cover the show on Sunday. We'll all get it figured out and put out tweets so that you all know at our personal account. I'm at B_Lee253, and I'm going to get ready to eat dinner.
All right. You get ready to eat dinner. I'm going to get ready to walk the dog and go to bed, and we will talk to you hopefully on Sunday. But if not, we'll talk to you next week. Take care, guys.